Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yes, we do, and there's a lot of sports to talk about, including a little baseball going on right now. Not going so well. That's okay. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the greatest guest host in the history of the known universe. Lance Zierlein in today. Tyler Scott behind the glass. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Lance Zierlein, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And you'll probably want to be on Twitch today because the legendary Lance Zierlein is here, which I got to tell you, I'm stoked, man. I've been fired about this all day because it's been about, what, year and a half since we did a show together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will go on the record and say if you and Granato ever get a divorce, I'll take either one of you.
Wait, so wait a minute. What was the occasion last time when we did a show? Do you remember?
I think AJ was out of town and we had a road show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's
you were
right.
Like 30 minutes late.
Yeah, I just showed up. Oh, I was way out off of...
Yeah, it was a haul.
249, no.
Yeah, 290.
290. Yeah.
So...
Well, it's good to be here, and we do have a lot going on. We actually have a lot going on today. I know there's a lot of stuff that we looking at the rundown sheet. There's a lot to get into, most notably, unfortunately, the Astros got the gentleman sweep, also known as the soft sweep, which means they didn't win the last game of the series. So they win the first two. They come up short today. 2-1 was the final. Lance McCullers pitched very well, gave up two runs early on, but he really locked it down, pitched seven complete innings, and unfortunately, Fred, it was a case where the hitters just couldn't come through. They scratched together a two-out run in the eighth inning with McCormick doubling down the line, bringing home, who was that on base? Because I'm trying to recall, I think it was Carlos Correa, trying to recall who he brought home.
Oh, Kyle Tucker.
No, it's Kyle Tucker, yeah. That's right. And he brought home Kyle Tucker. And then you, Toro couldn't bring him in. And then here in the ninth, you had a chance at the walk-off win. You got a base hit to lead it off with Yordan hitting it up the middle for a base hit. But then the next hitter up, Yuli grounds into a double play. And next hitter is gone, and that's all she wrote. So the Astros take 2-3. And it's a good run. They do. I was hoping to see them put together a second swept series before they took on the Yankees, but now the Yankees are going to be coming into town, and you lose, but, you know, the bats didn't show up with the starting pitching. It was nice to see a starter put together a strong performance. Garcia, the night before, had a pretty strong one, but this is a series where you get the feeling that there's going to be more on the line than just Astros-Yankees, which has obviously developed a lot more of a following since 2015 when the Astros beat them in the playoff game in the wild card game. It's a lot more than that after all of the accusations and the Astros with the walk-off win against them in 19. They beat the Yankees on the way towards a World Series in 17. I'm happy they won 2-3 from the A's, but I'll be honest with you, I'm looking forward to that series.
Yeah, although in the grand scheme of things, the A's series is a little more important because you want to make sure you lock down the division first. But they pretty much own the A's now for 2 years, so you get 2 out of 3. You got four against Cleveland. I mean, this is a good stretch, and there are very few series. The season's so damn long, and one of the things that's so hard to do baseball regularly on radio because there's just so many damn games and so many trends have to play out over 10, 15 games before you can get a real feel for things. But there are series that you look forward to watching, and certainly the Yankees are it, man. Yankees and Red Sox, anytime the Astros play them, anytime they play the Dodgers, it's going to be more fun as a spectator. It'll be probably more fun for the players because, I mean, who doesn't want to play the Yankees? I mean, that's it's a good spot here going into the All-Star game, but a couple of your guys are going to take a longer break than expected since both Altuve and Correa have decided not to play in the All-Star game.
Yeah, and for a couple of different reasons. Jose Altuve, and we've got some sound from both the guys, but Jose Altuve is taking a break for injury purposes. He's a little bit concerned about his leg. And then Carlos Correa, he basically wants to shut it down and spend some time with his wife who's expecting their first child. And I was trying to think about this, Fred. I Googled it, and I found Kirk Gibson didn't go in 1988. But other than that, you have three guys, Jacob deGrom also not playing this year. So there's three All-Stars, Jacob deGrom, the two Astros in Correa, and Altuve, who are not going to play. This is fairly new. We've seen guys with injury concerns not play before. But for a player to opt out, I mean, Jose Altuve is playing baseball right now. So he said he's worried about his leg. You know, it's going to be a relatively short stint on the field anyway. I think he could play in an All-Star game and really not exert too much energy in the whole All-Star weekend. But I've always wondered, in the NFL, you have so many people who bail out on the Pro Bowl. In basketball, it's a huge party, so no one bails out right on the All-Star game in basketball because that's their...
They'll go, and then they may come up with an injury when they get there, but
usually you may have strip club. Or you may get injured with some of your activities in the NBA. NBA All-Star game, you can get injured at a party just through some of your post-party activities. That can certainly happen. But I think this is interesting to see a player like Carlos Correa voted in by the fans say, no, I'm going to hang out with the wife and, you know, we're expecting our child, so I'm going to shut that down. I feel like sometimes the phrase opt out, which we saw in college football this year because of COVID, we saw it in the NFL as well. I'm wondering if that's going to be a term that is now used more frequently and an action that is used more frequently in sports when people just don't want to do something. In an All-Star game, you certainly don't have to play in it, but most have played in it over the years.
Well, I don't think he was voted in. I think he was, as a reserve, he was selected.
Yeah, you're right. It's not voted in. Yeah, you're right.
In fact,
he was selected.
None of the Astros that were there were voted in, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're right. There were player selections.
But you know what? Peers. You got what Carlos had to say here. Let's hear that, because...
We've got a couple. We've got the first little clip, and then he also has basically him saying it was a tough decision, or...
We'll
go with the first one.
Yeah, go with the first one.
I want to announce that I won't be attending the All-Star game this year. As you guys know, my wife is pregnant with her first child. We have an appointment during that break, and I want to stay home. As you guys know, baseball is really important to me, but family will always come first. So we decided that I'm going to stay here with her, spend this time. Obviously, we don't get a lot of time together with baseball season. So I'm pretty excited about that. Obviously, I'm grateful for everybody that voted for me to win the All-Star game. Baseball means, you know, the world to me, but I want to be with my family this time, especially with my wife. Spending this time with her is our first child, so I need that time.
Well, two thoughts. First off, the wife has too much control. But on the other hand, I have no problem with this at all, man. And I think especially when you look at a guy who's in a contract year, who's healthy right now, the last thing you want to do is take a chance in a meaningless All-Star game. And he's actually been healthy for almost a full season if you go back to last year, which he's never done. And I don't really see the point in playing that game. So I think you're right. I think you're going to see more of the opt-outs, and I think that's okay. And, you know, I mean, this is a game that just makes money for MLB. And if you don't want to play, don't play. I'm fine with it.
I'm going to disagree with you, and here's why. You're a sport that is not exactly ascending with young people, and if your stars start to opt out en masse, let's say it's Carlos Correa right now, but let's say it's Fernando Tatis or Vlad Guerrero in the future. I don't know that helps Major League Baseball. I mean, some of the same players who you say, well, this is just for Major League Baseball. Well, it's also for the popularity of your sport, which pays your salaries, because let's face it, the income coming in from Major League Baseball is what creates the number, the salary numbers. And so I think it is maybe not a great, I don't think it's a great precedent. I'm not saying it's going to be a precedent, but if it does happen more often, I don't think baseball can fade it. It's one thing for football. Who cares? Who cares if people don't play in the Pro Bowl? Nobody cares. You don't want anyone to get hurt there. But for baseball, I know you've got memories of watching Major League Baseball All-Star games at different points, probably when you were younger and maybe even older. I know me as an Astros fan growing up, I mean, I couldn't wait to see a Cesar Cedeno in the game. I couldn't wait to see Dickie Thon. I couldn't wait to see Mike Scott, J.R. Richard, Nolan Ryan, all the way up when Lima pitched. You know, I considered him a friend. And just the ability to see those guys play was really cool from a fan perspective. And I think from a young fan perspective, it's something that to see your guys highlighted with other guys who are considered stars. I think it is good for Major League Baseball. And maybe it is important for them because that's not a hip sport amongst young people. It's not ascending. And to take out some of your star potential there, you know, I think is much more of a concern for baseball because they're not going anywhere in basketball. As I said before, that's too big of a headline maker for those players to leave. They look forward to the All-Star game. At least it feels like it. Most of the guys do. Baseball, with more family guys, and it's typically older players, since it takes you longer to get to the bigs in many cases, I think it does lend itself to more opt-outs, though, for guys to say, you know what, I just want time off.
And especially in a 162-game season, it does make sense. I want to follow up on that when we come back. You know, we got a lot of football I want to get to today as well, because I got a football genius. In fact, at some point today,
yep,
I want to ask Lance if he had gotten the job instead of Nick Caserio, what things he'd have done differently.
It's going to be way different.
I hope so. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. He was on this morning, so it is Lance Zierlein. And Dallas Longhorn asked, y'all don't think these are excuses because they didn't want the turmoil or booze from the fans when it's supposed to be fun. I wouldn't blame them if so. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the case with Altuve, but... But Correa's been the one guy who hasn't given two bleeps about that. So, I honestly believe him when he says he wants to spend time with his family. But
I totally believe him. And I think I had no doubt that his wife would want him to stay there. I mean, they're having their first kid. I totally get all that stuff. I'm just saying in a general sense, you know, to me, that's kind of mitigating circumstances. But I understand in a long season wanting to not have to go to All-Star break. I mean, I get that. This has been going on for decades, and guys have gone and played it. A lot of times there's financial considerations where you make your money there, but when the money gets so high, you start talking about, oh, there's a $100,000 bonus for playing in an All-Star game. And I'm just throwing a random number out. I don't know. At some point, some of these players are going to say, don't care.
So how many kids do you have now, like 12?
I've got five.
Five?
I've kept it at that same number for quite some time.
So let's say you were having a sixth, and it was NFL draft. Would you be on NFL Network, or would you be there for number six? First one, you'd be there, I have no doubt.
No, I gotta be there. I mean, that's an easy call. What is it going to be? Happy wife, happy life. It's Nicole would never let me miss. Wait, now when is this happening? Is this happening during the draft?
Yeah, like day two. Like, she's due...
Like, day two is big to me.
I know. That's why I was picking that one out. Because you've got to do the...
Day two is round two and round three. That's where the real draft is.
Yeah, that's where all your work
comes out. I mean, if we're doing it remotely, if the NFL's being very careful, I could set something up at a hospital and still do the show.
Yeah, you could be the doctor. You could come out and borrow a smock from one of the doctors.
I could wear the scrubs and go out there and, you know, I just need a little camera set up. It's pretty easy to get it. I mean, we've done it for 2 years now, done remote broadcasts with just an HD camera that you plug into your computer. I've got the little earpiece you can put in now. It's really pretty simple. It's pretty simple.
It's amazing how far
I don't want to have another kid, though. That's the problem. I do want to have several more drafts. I don't want to have another kid. So hopefully I'll never get challenged with that.
Was it the actual number, or was it just like, dude, I'm too old for this?
Yeah, every time you have a kid, it's you're starting over.
Yeah, because, well, you automatically, well, I think of it this way. I'm automatically tacking on 18 years of child support.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely no fun. But every time.
I just got out from under that, man.
So you know a snooze, when you hit your snooze, you used to be on the button, now you snooze on your phone. But every time a child was born, I realized I was hitting snooze on my retirement. Like, well, that's going to take longer. Oh, that's going to take longer. Ooh. Snooze, snooze, snooze. And at some point, it's just too much. It's just too much. And I got my girl on the last try. So I finally got, you know, the young daughter, which just causes all the boys are jealous. So they always start stuff with her. And she is loud and she's ready to scrap with them verbally.
Is she kind of a prude?
Super prude.
Yeah, I think I've heard you talk about
this. As close as you get to Handmaid's Tale as you're going to find. She's a Martha. Yeah, she's a Puritan. We call her a Puritan. Yeah, she's a super prude. She doesn't like Mr. Dell because he plays bad words on the show. She doesn't like some of the things John says. If I say something, she'll have to have a conversation with me. To say she's a prude is she got upset because somebody one time outside on my patio was cigaretting, which means smoking a cigarette. Now, she didn't see him, but she saw the butt had been put out somewhere, and she came in, and her pearls were clutched, and she's, who was cigaretting on the patio? I'm like, oh, man, one of mom's friends immediately threw it on my wife.
Oh, that's what you have to do. But, yeah, the thing is, I didn't want a daughter. I'm not going to lie. I didn't grow up around girls. I didn't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be the best thing.
Yeah.
And my daughter's great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, girls are great. Girls are great. Boys are great up to a certain point, and then you just have to overcome them.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how that goes.
Mine's great. He's totally. I don't want to say he's completely different from me, but he grew up not liking sports at all.
Well, you know what my kids do.
Which threw me off quite a bit.
No, that's my oldest is like that. He's not a sports except for MMA stuff. He loves that, and he is a competitive like kickboxer and stuff. But, what I like with my kids is they've been a big part of they follow sports with me when I'm watching or they're into it. But like they don't get into baseball until playoffs, and then they do. They love basketball. They like football a lot. Sebastian, who we call Snacks, his godfather's Chris Ballard, so he roots for the Colts, and everyone else roots for the Texans. They used to root for the Cardinals when it was Grandpa's team, but Grandpa's not there anymore, and so my house is like a battle for, is a battle for fandom. And with Nick Caserio coming in, I was hoping he could get my kids back on board with the Texans and excited about the Texans. But honestly, I don't know that there's any general manager that could have gotten anyone excited about the Texans this year. And while I disagree with how Nick Caserio handled the draft, and I would have done it differently, not that I would have done it right, but I would have done it differently. The more I've thought about it, I think without headline players, and there just aren't headline players. I can tell you as much as I want that Laremy Tunsil's a good tackle. A left tackle's not a headline player. It's just not. They don't score touchdowns. They don't stop you from getting touchdowns. So who do you have that's a headline player once you've taken Deshaun Watson out of there? There's no reason for my kids to be excited about the Texans unless they are just Texan by birth. And one thing I found out about kids is, man, it used to be all sports was by birth. You were born into a fan base.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah.
You didn't just move out of it unless you were some punk-ass kid who just, you didn't just say, I'm not going to be this fan anymore. You stuck with it, and you just had to deal with it. Now, kids bail. And when I say kids, I mean, I'm talking about into your 20s, hell, maybe even into some into the 30s. Like in basketball, I'm a LeBron fan, okay? The other day, I ran into a DeMar DeRozan fan who used to be a Toronto Raptor fan.
Yes.
I kind of respect that more, a DeRozan fan than a LeBron fan. But
yeah.
He was a Raptor, and now he's a Spurs fan. He said, I'm getting ready to probably be another fan because I roll with DeRozan. My kids are from that kind of generation where I don't know that they're just born into a fan base. They're Astros fans and Rockets fans and Texans fans, but they're not ride or die on every Sunday and every game day like I was.
Well, and this kind of pulls me back to what we were talking about with the All-Star game. And when you and I were kind of coming up, the All-Star game was a bigger deal. And for me, it was a big deal because most of the time the Astros sucked. And so whoever it was their one guy. That's why you watch, to see him get on the field. Whether it's Bill Doran or fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And when they were good, you know, you would always want to wait and see when they got up there, when Biggio or Bagwell would get their chance. And it was kind of cool, but I think it's changed a lot. I think baseball in general is not an ADD sport. Baseball is a social sport where you go to games and I know, listen, even at my age, I got ADD bad when it comes to sports. I can't sit there and watch nine innings.
Have you always been like that?
I've gotten that way.
Do you think technology has made that?
Yes, I think technology has made it that way.
I am an ADD person. Like, I hear everyone say, I'm ADD. No, but I really am. I never had the hyperactivity.
Yeah, I'm not really ADD. I just have a short attention span.
Right. Yeah. I am ADD. I don't take medicine. I haven't. I probably would be better. But I think in some ways it's benefited me from a creative standpoint over the years in radio. But I'm also the same person that has to pause. And this is since I had TiVo. When TiVo first came out, my ability to pause something and let there be a 10-minute drag on the game where I could, like, forward through commercials, forward between pitches, forward between plays if it's football, hit the 30-second button, that's a dream come true for me because I can't. And you're right. Baseball is one of those things where it's about the game, but it is about the experience of being in a park, for sure. And I don't think... And you're not going to get that on TV.
No, and I think people.
That's what gambling's for. Well, to make you care more.
Baseball is becoming boxing. It's becoming horse racing. It's when there's something really cool going on. It's still a big deal. But I think 10 years from now, it's going to be just like those sports. Which I love them both. And in the 20s, if I were alive in the 20s and 30s, everybody thinks I was, but I wasn't. Then that would have been the heyday. And baseball is the same way up until probably.
Baseball, boxing, horse racing, big three. Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, though, Fred. I think that one thing I found out from the Astros being terrible during that run and then getting better is I was on 790 during when they were terrible, and they would tell me and Charlie, like, they would tell Charlie point blank, don't talk about the Astros. Well, telling Charlie not talk about the Astros when they're 100 lost season.
But
it's like, yeah, Charlie basically just said F off to station management because if it's July, Charlie's rolling with baseball talk when he was there and not on vacation. He was going to roll with baseball talk. That's just what it was going to be because that's the way it was supposed to be. That's how he grew up with, you know, and that's the way it used to be. This is the season, this season, this season, this season. But there was nobody like, locally, no fans. There was nothing to really talk about. We were all waiting for Springer to come up. We were all waiting for John Singleton at that time to come up. And then what happened was when the Astros got good in 15, all the Astros fans began to be awoken. It was an awakening for Astros fans who had been longtime Astros fans. But then the newer fans started coming out. So what I figured out was, yeah, baseball in a general sense is not what it once was. But I don't know if it's necessarily boxing in the sense that I think if your team is good, it's 100% regional now. I don't care about watching most other games unless it's the Astros. And it used to, that was not the case before. But now, if it's not a regional game for my team, in baseball, if my team's not good, I don't care about baseball as much unless the Astros are good.
Well, I think there's some similarities, though, to boxing because there's a lot of guys like Canelo. If Canelo's not fighting, there's people who don't care. But if he is, I mean, that's their guy. We got a couple of calls, Tyler?
We have one.
Okay.
We've got Alex with a question for Lance, well,
let's
I'm
get,
assuming.
Let's get Alex on with a question for Lance. What's up, Alex?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Alex?
Gentlemen, Lance, missed you on the morning show this morning, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate
I've been listening to you since you were paired with Matt, and you guys were the proper gentleman of sports or something of that nature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I listened to the show this morning, and it made me remember when you were on vacation. It's so tough to listen to Granado when you're not there to go back and forth with. Listening to Granado was literally like listening to ice cream.
Right, because, that's what I say.
But
I should be paid more because I have to carry Granado every day.
Your guy, but Jesus, Lance, I missed you. I missed you when you're on vacation.
I appreciate like, it. Now, Granado's my guy. I enjoy doing the show with John. I can't believe that's how you think about
you guys in the morning, man.
Granado doesn't exactly put people. I wouldn't say he's a put people to sleep personality. I think that's the ice thing. I don't know. That's kind of rough.
He
may not be your cup of tea, but John is like, he's going to say some things to keep you on your toes.
I think he was being good natured, but I will stand for no Granado slander on this show. Sorry, bud.
I'm here for it.
Well, I know.
If you guys want to slam John, 713-780-3776. It's the only way that I get, you know, y'all throw some bullets at you, throw some shade at John. He's in there, sitting in there for throw shade while everyone else gets blasted by Throw Shade Thursday, and he gets out of alive. This is our chance to throw shade Thursday in the afternoon show, but it just needs to be directed right at John. And see if this gets back to him, he's going to call the show. He will have a few drinks, and then he might cuss on the air. That is -125 in Vegas. That is a very small favorite.
See, I kind of like the idea that people get on there and just throw shade at me and AJ and everybody else on there, because that's what I'm here for you guys to make fun of. That's the whole point.
We break balls on the morning show anyway. That's always.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing. I can bust your guys' balls and it's funny.
Yeah.
And same thing. I wish everybody felt that way.
I heard. Yeah,
that's all right.
I've heard things.
Yeah, well, all right. Let me tell you something you probably have already heard. Is that Lawyer Dave is a badass, and Dave represents blitzers of all kinds. Man, you've been in any kind of accident, a car, 18-wheeler, industrial, workplace, slip and fall, any of those things, Lawyer Dave's got you covered. And you know what? If you wind up with a bad hospital experience, and you need to go after them, Lawyer Dave will do that. Practice everywhere here in Texas. And the best part is he doesn't charge a dime for his consultation. So you can call him if you've got a legal question about anything, and he'll tell you. If he doesn't handle it, he'll actually send you to somebody who does. If you don't have a case, he'll tell you that. He doesn't get paid a dime until you win. So let's say you're in a car accident. You need to go to the doctor. You don't have insurance. Well, guess what? They're going to take care of that. They take your case, not a dime out of your pocket until you win. Based right here in Houston, you can give them a call at 713-626-8900 or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or you can go to lawyerdave.com. And if you can't remember any of that, just hit me up and I will get you that information. Abogado El Tigre Tejano. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Lance Zierlein filling in. Always fun to work with Lance. No late hits tonight, right? We got the NBA on, NBA Finals. So, you can listen to Bucks and Suns. So, we have a new TV in here that usually tells us who the callers are. So Tyler's kind of in charge of the calls today. So Tyler, who do we at?
We have Arthur, which I don't know if it's our Arthur or not, but he wants to talk about Deshaun Watson. So okay. Go, Arthur.
Hey, new viewer, new listener. And it's a multi-part question, but do you believe that the Texans had enough information to get equal value for Deshaun Watson before the controversy occurred? My second part question is, when do you think Deshaun will be traded? And the last part is, what do you think they'll get for them? Thanks so much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Welcome to the show. I hate multi-part questions, I'll just tell you. I'll forget the first two by the time we get to the third.
That's why I always answer back to front.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what the first thing you said, but I think Deshaun will be traded whenever this is concluded. And when I say concluded, just when everything is known. When it is known that there will be no criminal charges, which I don't think there will be, when it is known how long, when it is known that he has a settlement in place and there's not going to be any civil litigation moving forward, and when it is known how many games he's going to be suspended by the NFL, which I believe will be six. Now, once all of that is known, I think that's when the trade calls start happening fast and furiously.
But that could be into next season. It might not even be this year.
Well, that's when it's going to be. I don't think the trade. I don't think if you're the Texans, you want to trade this year because it is going to take too long, and you will not get value. It's like selling a stock. It's like selling a stock at $54 when you bought it at, you know, when you know that its value is in the 60s, but you're impatient. You just want to get rid of it. But if you hold on to it for several months, eventually it's going to get to where it needs to get to. Nick Cassero is not going to be in any big hurry, and I think the fact that this is going to take a while is going to do him some favors. What it's going to do is it's going to push the timeline back, and when all of this gets settled, I'm going to tell you, you know, I love hearing people talk about the fact that, you know, Deshaun's lost all of his value. Yeah, right now, but it's a distressed market for Deshaun. It's like a housing market. It's bad, but at some point it's going to get hot again. And when it does, I don't think it's outrageous to think you might get three firsts. You might get two firsts, two seconds, and additional picks. Maybe you'll get, two firsts and three seconds. Maybe a player will be involved instead of a draft pick. But you're going to get value again at some point. You're going to have the value return. Because I want you to remember this. You say right now, okay, who would you trade him to right now? And we'd have two or three teams. But if I ask you who you're going to trade, who Deshaun goes to after 2021 is over and after Ben Roethlisberger has retired and Matt Ryan now is a cap casualty, which he can't be right now, but next year he can be, and after Philadelphia isn't happy with Jalen Hurts.
Or maybe Trey Lance doesn't work out in San Francisco.
Yeah, or Denver's not happy or Denver's not happy with Drew Lock or Seattle. The buzz continues to surround him, or maybe Green Bay, or, you know, what I'm saying is I can give you Philadelphia, the Saints, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh as legitimately viable candidates after the 2021 season. So if that's going to be the case, along with your usual cast of characters of teams who are unhappy, who are going to be looking for quarterbacks in the draft, I'm telling you right now, there will be 6 to 7 teams, and it becomes a question of Deshaun, are you willing to go? You know, are you willing to open up the amount of teams you're willing to be traded to? Because remember, he's got a no trade clause. Yeah. So that no trade clause is going to allow him to pick and choose his teams. But he's going to have to, if he really wants to get out of here and start playing football again, he's going to have to be more open minded about where he's willing to go. But I think by next year, Atlanta, New Orleans, maybe Tampa, although they drafted a quarterback in the second round, but that's not Deshaun Watson. There's going to be a lot more teams who are looking for quarterback, maybe the Detroit Lions. So,
and you don't know if any of these kids that just got drafted work out. The Jets may find out Zach Wilson's a complete disaster.
But you can't dump after 1 year, though, I don't think. But Carolina's a team that I always tell people, you better watch out for Carolina, because Carolina was in play for Deshaun Watson previously, and they had to bail out because of all this stuff. But Sam Darnold, I don't think he's locked in long term. I think that Deshaun Watson could still be a Carolina Panther at some point with Matt Rhule over there. So I think the value is going to come back. I think it's a minimum. The starting price is going to be two firsts and two seconds. And I wouldn't be shocked if we got to three firsts. It's just going to take you a while. It's going to be before next year's draft. But wouldn't you rather have?
I'd rather be involved in next year. This year's team sucks. Well, yeah. Adding people this year wouldn't have made any difference. And at 5 o'clock, I'm going to ask.
And
would
you rather see what the draft picks are going to be, like after season's
definitely
over?
Because you could say three first round picks, but if they're three picks in the late 20s, that's not the same thing as having a top five pick,
right? And you'll know that by the end of next year. So I think we're going to start hearing Deshaun Watson trade talk sometime around the combine next year, sometime after Senior Bowl. So probably early February is when it's going to become real. Because I can tell you, I don't think the civil thing's getting closed down anytime soon. This thing is really it's gotten quiet. It's gotten really quiet. And I dug around on it to see if that was a good thing, and it's not a good thing. I don't think there's movement right now.
And to his first question, which was whether or not they knew anything, there were certainly reports that there might be a problem. And so they couldn't have made a trade. If they'd made a trade that wasn't going to be official until the league year, then that thing would have gotten kiboshed. So they really couldn't do anything. But there were rumblings out there. And, yeah, from what I hear, they're not close on a settlement. They haven't been. And at no point have they been close. And, you know, there have been talks, but that's it. So, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, they're obviously negotiating. Well, just I have some sources close to the situation that say that's not the case. So what's that?
Me telling you about car washes. Ah. You know what? I'm glad I get to tell the afternoon crew this because this is a hookup that I've been telling people about, and a lot of people have been taking advantage of this. The passcode is 5975, 5975. The car wash company is Charisma, C-A-R-I-S-M-A. You can go to charismawash.com and find one of their three locations. There's one in the Heights. There's one near Gulfgate. And the one that I go to is at Bissonnette at Upper Kirby. It's Bissonnette and Kirby. So it's easy to find. And they're drive-through washes, but they are very, very powerful. They get full cleaning done on the wheels. They're two top washes. Here's what they're doing for you. If you use passcode 5975, they take $10 off of their ultimate wash. So $14 wash turns into a $4 wash. Your lava wash, which is their premier wash, goes from $17 to $7. And that $10 value is going to continue to go on. They did it through June. They're going to do it in July as well. But it's limited time only. So if they pull it in July, they pull it. But for right now, you got $10 off. And with all this rain and the mud, you guys know your cars are going to be a wreck. They're going to be a mess. So once it stops raining here over the next couple days, stop in at Charisma Car Wash and get your car washed with $10 off on your Ultimate or Lava package. CharismaWash.com.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Lance Zierlein filling in. Texter says, how can you honestly say this team will suck? We have no idea what this team will look like next year. Okay, well, I'll just...
No idea?
Let me just throw out, there's 17 games on the schedule. How many games are they favored in? This is a pop quiz. I know you're a numbers guy. Give me that number.
Zero.
Zero out of 17.
I've seen the numbers. I've seen the preseason odds.
All right, so...
At least preseason.
Right, and obviously that's going to change, and I still think they win... I think they can win four or five games. I mean, but they have almost no talent whatsoever on the roster. They've got a coach who's a first time coach who's 65 years old who's never been a coordinator at the NFL level. They've got a preacher running the thing, and you know, they've got a GM who I think is way overrated. Which next segment I'm gonna ask Lance about this, but it's not just me. I mean, if Vegas says you're going to lose every game, that's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. It's no guarantee. You know, you still got to play the games, and there's no guarantee you're going to be the worst team in football either because the Jets thought they had it made in the shade, and then they accidentally started winning. Miami was supposed to be one of the, you know, historically bad teams. They traded away Minka Fitzpatrick. They were, you know, they were set to be awful, and before you knew it, they weren't drafting first or second or, golly, even third that year. You know, they had, or maybe actually Tua did go, I think that was the third pick. So there's no guarantee that they're going to be the worst team in football. There's no guarantee that they're going to be bad. But if you had a 100, if somebody gave you a $10,000 chip to place on below 500 or above 500, my guess is you're placing it below 500.
Yeah, but you're also taking a minus price too.
Big yeah, time. Well, I'm just saying, if I just gave it to you, yeah. If I just forget the odds, if I just said, here, where are you going to put it? This is a chance for you to win $10,000 for free. Whoever said that is going to probably put it on under. So then once we get even hardcore with it and say, okay, you think they're going to be 0-5 wins or you think they're going to be 6-8? Or if I said 0-4 or 5-8, that's a little tougher, but I'm still inclined to think it's going to be closer to 4 or 5. Their lineup isn't good. Their depth isn't good. But I will say this. There's some guys playing on this team, like Shaq Lawson, who have a chance to be average. Desmond King, I think, is better than what they've had in the secondary. They've got some new blood at cornerback. They have a chance to be better than last year on the offensive line. And I'm interested to see what Philip Lindsay, Rex Burkhead, and Mark Ingram bring to the table. Duke Johnson was kind of a known commodity. David Johnson gives me zero excitement at all. But I do think the other running backs, I think, could be at least a little bit interesting. With that all said, I can't envision a scenario where they get to more than six wins. I just can't.
Yeah, I do think there are some things that you could look at and say, well, if this goes well, which right. is always how I try to approach it. It's like, if this goes right, then what's the ceiling? Well, I think the offensive line has a chance to be really good. Not just better, but really good. I think just changing the coach makes a huge difference there. You had one of the worst offensive line coaches.
That's probably going to make a big difference. Yeah. And they are a deeper offensive line.
And Marcus Cannon's a legitimate NFL player. And I think that's, you know, if they can just sort of solve whatever is going on with Max Sharping. And I think Justin Britton's a better player than Nick Martin. So I think that's that. And if you can start with a good offensive line, you can be a bad team, but that's a really good place to start. And if you can run the football better, I think Lindsay was a good pickup. I don't know about Ingram. I think he's, you know, he's probably a goal line guy at this stage of his career at best. But yeah, you know, if you can run the ball, then Tyrod Taylor's not going to turn it over a lot. Brandon Cooks is a decent receiver. I mean, he's not a superstar, but I mean, the guy's a 1,000-yard receiver. You've got enough weapons there. If you can slow the game down, run the football, and keep your defense off the field, you'll win a few games. They're not going to go out and win games like they did last year where Deshaun's throwing it all over the yard in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, you can win some games. Now, I don't know how many. I think when you go through the schedule, you don't know how good some of these teams are going to be. And, yeah, I think they win week one, frankly. I mean,
you do?
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, but do I think he's going to be great week one? Do I think Urban Meyer is going to be great week one? Probably not. And the talent differential is not that much. And if you've got a veteran quarterback out there, I think you've got a better chance of winning.
You know, I want to apologize to Texans fans because I know that I know some people could sit there and just say, boy, Lance, you're so negative. And I've heard it before. But it's only because I've followed the team and written about the team and talked about the team since their inception. Been doing radio since then, and I did a lot of writing over the Texans. And at one point, it was in the Chronicle blog when it was the Z Report. And I would have
some smart editor started that thing.
I would have a ton of hits on preseason games and post games, whether it was good or bad, and analysis. But it's just over the years watching how they're run and watching how other teams are run and having insight into how other teams operate. It's maddening for me on a personal level to watch how poorly this team has been run. I didn't think Rick Smith was a great GM, but he was functional in terms of knowing what he needed to do in a very general sense. Things you should, frankly, take for granted. Then the matchup with he and Bill O'Brien, where they just really didn't like each other and they're completely different types of personalities, that was bad for the team. But Rick Smith, make no mistake about it, with 100% certainty, I will tell you, Rick Smith was 100% responsible for bringing Deshaun Watson to this team, not Bill O'Brien. And Bill O'Brien has confided with people in the first year that Deshaun Watson was making him look good. Like, man, this guy makes me look way better than I am because he's just doing things on his own. That was the case. And Bill got lucky that Rick Smith had the wherewithal to take a chance in that draft. But everything beyond the Deshaun Watson pick has been really just so disastrous. The moves that they've made, the no one wanted to listen when I talked about how terrible the way that they structured the deal for Laremy Tunsil was, because not only do you not give away that much draft capital for a tackle, you don't do that, but then you definitely don't have a situation where you don't have a deal agreed to in principle because he has all the leverage. And so now,
that was my problem with it, but I'll say this: at the time, that was a desperate need, and yes, you overpaid. You didn't expect it to be the third pick. Let's be honest. You in no way did you think one of them was going to be the third pick.
A desperate need.
Because you had Julian Davenport you were trotting out there.
But you could have handled Dwayne Brown. Now, that's hindsight.
Well,
you could have handled Dwayne Brown better, but that's hindsight. Julian Davenport, you know, why they waited I found this shocking. This was shocking to me. What in the world are the Texans not addressing the left tackle position earlier for? Why was Davenport the fourth rounder? That was the guy that they decided they were going to try to win with, was Davenport. And that was baffling to me because I'm studying all these other tackles. The Texans in any of these drafts could have gone in different directions. They chose not to. They got into a quote-unquote desperate situation, and they acted desperately.
But you know what? If you go back, we can go back a long way and find everything that led them to that point. But at that point, you thought you were Super Bowl contender. Here was my problem.
Did you think they were?
I thought that they were going to be – they had a chance to be pretty good, except I had one real issue. If you're going to make an all-in move, which I don't have a problem with, the Rams do it all the time. And in you know, I know that you're a draft guy, but you're still looking at 50% hit rate on some of these guys. So I'm totally okay with if you make a move like that, if you think that's what's going to get you there. But then in the same breath, you're trading away Jadeveon Clowney for a third-round pick. That's not an all-in move.
Well, and not only that, but you gave a very short-term deal. You gave a deal that was so far beyond the league standards for a tackle that no one is – they've had two other tackles signed who are very, very good tackles, better than Laremy Tunsil. And Ronnie Stanley and Ryan Ramczyk can't even get Laremy Tunsil money. It's considered such a stupid contract. And then on top of that
– I think Stanley's is actually worth more. Because I think that made him the highest paid guy right before he got hurt.
It would be interesting. I know the average per year is not. Tunsil's at 22 and Stanley was at 19. So maybe the total length, because that's the other problem. You may be talking total length and guaranteed money, because that's the other problem is that you only got a short-term deal with Tunsil. You didn't force him to sign a longer-term deal.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. But I think at the time, yeah, I didn't mind it until they traded Clowney. Then it's like, okay, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Which was the same day.
Yeah, you're not making all-in moves here. I mean, this you keep Clowney for a year, and you go for it this year if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to put those picks into Tunsil.
They didn't have to give up Clowney at that particular point.
Exactly. It made no sense.
But, I mean, it's been a series of poorly planned moves, and I thought Nick Caserio, who there is a concern and there's question marks about, you know, how he's handled these Patriot drafts. Like, how much is he responsible for some of these bad drafts with New England? That's a really scary question.
They seem to have a pretty good one this year when he wasn't there.
And, well, I can tell you this. I didn't love what the Texans did because I didn't think it was handled the way you have draft picks. You know, I didn't think he did the most with his draft picks. I thought he did a very poor job for a team who doesn't have much depth on that team and could use some good low-cost talent at the back end of the roster. He's just throwing away draft picks, trade up, trade. And then for what? You get a backup linebacker in Wallow, who's a special teams guy, and then you get Davis Mills, who you're going to have to play this year to find out if he can play, because you're probably going to be bad next year and in position where you probably need to draft a quarterback.
Well, next segment, I want to ask you what you would have done as GM, because I think we talked about this a lot. Well, you should trade for picks next year. You know, if you trade down and get picks next year, and they didn't do any of that. In fact, they traded a pick next year. We got a call.
We do. Shannon wants to talk NFL with Lance.
Go, Shannon.
Hey, what's up, Fred? Lance. Of course, you know, miserable Saints homer here.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering why the Saints are getting so much poo-poo with a relatively intact team minus Sanders on receiver and minus Trey Hendrickson, which was a one-off year, with Winston coming in and a team that's set up for him to succeed after 1 year of learning an offense, not coming in totally blind and having to learn it immediately. And I'm wondering why so many people are poo-pooing on the Saints, including you, Lance, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people have them finishing third in the NFC South behind, of course, Tampa Bay and Carolina. Well, so I'm kind of wondering why, where that's coming from, just for the 1 year where he threw 33 and 30?
Well, now, I haven't made any predictions on the Saints or the NFC. I haven't made any season-long predictions for any of the divisions, so I have no idea where I'm going to put the Saints. Saints still have a very capable defense. They have a good offensive line. You know, they have a good running back. Like, I'm not as down on the Saints as you might think. I don't like the way they handled their draft. I was not a fan. And Traquan Smith, to me, I don't think is a true number two wide receiver. But Jameis Winston is a habitual interception giver. That's who he is. That's who he was. That's not going to change. That's what Eli Manning was. You know, I made my comp was Eli Manning for Jameis Winston, and one of the reasons is because he doesn't value the football enough. Well, I feel vindicated with that because his turnover numbers have been high. They're always going to be high, and it's because he just doesn't value the football, and he doesn't make proper evaluations of risk-reward when he makes throws. And I don't think that's going to change. Now, I am interested to see what he does in a Sean Payton offense with Pete Carmichael full-time. I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, because in Arians' offense, they were asking him to throw interceptions. The way that offense was set up.
Well, it's a downhill. But Tom Brady doesn't do it a whole lot. I mean, that was not a great...
No, but they also changed the offense
Brady a little bit. They gave him too much slack.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians, and really before him, Dirk Cutter, I mean, they gave him too much slack. And he just, it's, or I don't know if it was Dirk Cutter. I can't remember who the offense coordinator was, but it's just too much slack for Jameis. You've got a little bit more of a controlled passing game. That actually is going to be better for Jameis. To ask him to do less and to make safer throws, I think gives him his one chance. But, you know, on the depth chart, it's still Taysom Hill. Now, I think it's going to be Jameis Winston. But the fact that you don't know that for sure, I don't think is a good sign for the Saints.
Yeah, and I think the Saints are intriguing to me because they really are pretty good at every position other than quarterback.
They are.
And I know Sean Payton can get a lot out of these guys, but I've also seen their act, and I just, you know, don't know what they're going to be. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hour number one already in the books. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.